Turn in your Bibles tonight to Ruth, and anticipate that everybody here has a pretty good knowledge of what's going on in this book. I'll just give you the quick overview in case for some reason you don't. Ruth is four chapters. It's named for a woman, Ruth. It turns out that Naomi and her husband Elimelech were running from a famine in their city, Bethlehem, Judah. They went to Moab with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Elimelech died. Mahlon and Chilion married. Mahlon married Ruth. Chilion married Orpah. And then the boys died. So now Naomi is there with two daughters-in-law and no husband. And she's ready to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. She's very bitter. She goes back and only Ruth accompanies her. She tries to persuade her daughters-in-law not to come with her because she doesn't have anybody for them to marry. And Ruth said, I'm not leaving you. I'm going wherever you're going. I'm going to go with your God. Where you die, I die. Well, they had to have something to eat. So Ruth, we're going to find out in chapter 2, goes out into the field, and the custom is that when you're a widow, when they're reaping, whatever they don't reap, if they leave it out in the corners of the fields or they drop something on the ground, you could pick that up and hopefully get enough to get by. So that's what she's doing. When she's there, she meets the owner of the field that she's working in, a fellow named Boaz. It turns out he is a near kinsman of Elimelech. And so Ruth is very faithful to continue through the harvest. After the harvest, her mother-in-law recognizes the opportunity for Ruth to let Boaz know that she will marry him if he will have her, and that he can redeem the lands of Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. And that all works out. Boaz marries her. Ruth has a son, and that son becomes the grandfather of King David. It's quite a remarkable story. There are many, many typologies in this book. Boaz representing the Lord Jesus Christ, Ruth representing the church, and many wonderful things in here. Today, what we're going to do is concentrate on chapter 2, and we're going to concentrate on Ruth's work in the field before she ever has the opportunity to make it known that she is willing to marry Boaz if he'll have her. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we'll talk about Ruth going to the field. Zach Bates, why don't you pray for us? Amen. Amen. Yeah, Brother Bates just prayed, Lord, give us something from this that you have for us tonight. You know, if you come to church expecting to get something from the Bible, you're going to get something. If you prayerfully consider that opportunity and you want to do something about what you hear, God will give you something. And I prayed for you today that you've come that way, that God will have something for you, and that out of this he'll show you what about this he would have you to do. To me, when I hear something like this, it's an encouragement. It's instructive. It keeps me going. You know, we were told by the Lord Jesus Christ when he was speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 9, verse 28, he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's barley harvest now. Back in Bethlehem, Judah, where Naomi and Ruth are. And Naomi and Ruth don't have visible means of support, and they need some food. And so notice here in chapter 2, verse 1, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. You know, Ruth is a great example of laboring in the harvest. When Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples and said, "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest," he noticed with compassion that there were multitudes who needed him, and he said, "The need is great, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few." And that's why he said to pray, "Ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Ruth gets into a strange country here and recognizes the need to go, and so she just heads out one day, but not until she's spoken to her mother-in-law and said to her, "Let me now go to the field." When I think about us and the opportunity to enter the Lord's harvest and the field that's around us, the first thing that we notice in this passage of Scripture is that Ruth wanted to go. Ruth wanted to go. Naomi didn't say, "Hey, you need to get up and go out and get us something to eat." She said, "Let me now go to the field." Her desire reminds me, anyway, of pastors. When you read over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, what Paul wrote to Timothy about these qualities of pastors, he said, "If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." In other words, Paul told Timothy, "You're looking for a man that wants to do this. You're not looking for somebody that gets drug into it against his will." And Ruth wanted to go. She had requested of Naomi permission to go out there and start working. And I believe this is so, but the Lord doesn't send people into the harvest that don't want to go. But if you have in your heart that at some point in your life soon, you would like to be able to be in the harvest and have the opportunity to be used by the Lord to sow seed, and I think harvest was exactly the words that Christine McLaughlin used concerning the sowing of the seed in this woman's life and the opportunity to go back for cultivation and watering and eventually reaping in the harvest. Listen, that's something she wanted to do. When she went to school and got a nursing degree, it was with the intention of being in medical missions and to go. And if it interests you, if it excites you, if it is a desire of your heart to want to do something, tell the Lord, "Let me go. Let me go to the field." And, when Ruth said to Naomi, "Let me now go to the field," the end of the verse says, she said unto her, "Go." Go ahead, do it. And I believe the Lord would say the same thing. You want to do that? Go. Listen, isn't that what happened in Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord shows up and Isaiah gets this vision of the Lord. And then he explains what's going on and he says, "Who will go for us?" And in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." "I'll go." In other words, Ruth volunteered. Bishops volunteer. Isaiah volunteered. You can volunteer and say, that's something that I want to do. Interestingly, after Naomi said, "Go, my daughter," look at the next verse. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. I love how this goes. Verse 2, "Go, my daughter." Verse 3, "And she went." you don't detect any hesitation. It's like Ruth got up in the morning thinking that if she asked for permission to go, Naomi would say go, and she already had her boots laced up and her work clothes on, and she took off and trusted God to lead her somewhere where she'd get something done. There's no hesitation. We see the same thing with Philip. Just keep your finger there because we're going to stay in that text, but go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, Philip is preaching in Samaria, if you know the passage, and there's been a great revival. It's quite a thing going on there. So he has obviously no intention of leaving and with all this work going on. And but in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. What did he say? He said, arise and go. Verse 27, and he arose and went. I like that. Arise and go, he arose and went. No hesitation. No delay, in other words. There was a desire to go, a preparation to go, and boom. You know, Ruth acted on what she desired. She did something about it. She showed some initiative. You know, sometimes we hesitate because we're waiting for somebody else to kind of take the lead, drag us along. And I understand what that's like. You know, I like to fish, and if somebody right now were to say, hey, you want to go fishing? I don't have any plans to go fishing Friday morning. If somebody said, hey, you want to go fishing Friday morning? I might arrange my plans to just go do that. And some of us are like that, but Ruth, you know, was ready to go and then showed some initiative. And then notice in verse 3 again, she wanted to go, she went, but watch this. The Bible says her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Her hap. Hap is something that happens unpredictably without human intention or observable cause. In other words, you know, nobody, there wasn't a sign posted out there, Ruth, you're supposed to work here today. You know, or somebody's painted footprints on the road that led there. There was no human, observable human intention or intervention in this. But she did end up at the right field. You know what that is, right? That's Proverbs 16:9. Man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Yeah, the Lord was involved in this thing. The Bible says her hap was to light upon a part of the field, but you tell right away there was no accident or chance in this at all. God was involved in her desire, and listen, she wanted to go, she went, and Ruth was led by the Lord. You know, if a person has a desire to go and the Lord says, then go, it's not just happenstance. You just don't go out there and say, okay, now where, what now? You are led by the Lord. It's like she said in the letter. I mean, it's kind of timely that she read that. I was not doing my normal greeting, greeted the visitor, and turned, and it's like the Lord said, look back at the baby. That's a leading of the Lord. There's a field here I want you to notice. You're going to plant a little seed today. You're going to get another opportunity. She's praying for the girl, and she gets another opportunity, and the girl needs transportation to the very city where they're going and spends the rest of the day with them. That's just chance. I don't think so. That's God directing, leading in this. See, when you're sent by the Lord into the harvest, you will see Him lead you along the way. He'll lead you to the field, Boaz's field, and He'll lead you to the people. Look at verse 4. This is the day she says it's time to go. She doesn't know where she's going. She ends up in this field, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem that day. How'd that all work out? I believe there's somebody involved in all of this, making these divine appointments. He leads you, listen, He'll lead you to the field and He'll lead you to the people. She was led to Boaz's field and she was led to Boaz. She doesn't know, Naomi doesn't know, Boaz doesn't even know at this time that this appointment is very much guided by God, because eventually this woman becomes Boaz's wife and he is the next of kin when the one closer bows out to be in a position to make the redemption and to raise up seed to Naomi and her deceased husband to continue on in the inheritance of the family. This is how the Lord does. You know, when we bought our house where we're living now, the house next door was empty and had been for a couple of years. And so every day that I walked by that house, I would pray for God to put somebody in there that would be just the right. I didn't want him to have a yippy dog. I didn't want him to have loud music and raucous behavior. I wanted them to be somebody who hopefully would need the Lord and somebody that would be there that we could help with these matters. And so when our neighbors finally did buy the house recently, they're a young Korean couple. We met them. We were very gracious to them to help them get established and sort of in and answer some questions for them, work together with them on the construction of this fence. And Thursday night last week, Grace is her name, called me and asked me a question. I said, I can't do that for you right now. We're in the middle of a Bible study. Our young people that are in church come to our house for supper, and we're having a Bible study tonight. And she said, "You're having a Bible study?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "Can I come to your Bible study? I have been wanting somebody to teach me the Bible for years." What is that? I said, "Well, these are all single and you're married and have children. How about if we just have a special supper and Bible study for you and your husband? You would do that for us?" "Yes, ma'am." "Oh, we would love that." Just hap. Now, you have that kind of desire and you go and you're led by the Lord. The Lord makes those arrangements. And you realize when you meet these people that you meet that it's not just about the fact that you now have a new neighbor. It's about something God's doing in their lives, or a new employee that comes to the job, or a new friend that you've met, or somebody that you bumped into. Notice also, as this continues, verse 5, Boaz said unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" The servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It's the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, 'I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.'" So she asked for permission to work in the field, verse 7. "So she came," watch it, "and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house." In other words, she hadn't been loafing over there in that house a little while, but she's been out here in the field from morning until now. What's the next thing? She wanted to go. She went. Ruth was led by the Lord, and then watch this. She worked through the day. She worked through the day. When you enter in the harvest, you're never off duty. You may not actually be in the company of somebody that you're talking to at the moment, but you could be. You're on duty. You're like on call. You're always prepared that it might be that next person you meet, or you're always prepared that the next person that crosses your path might be that very person that needs a tract or a witness or watering or cultivation or maybe even harvesting. I was at a conference recently in just north of Seattle in Linwood, Washington. The pastor there is Jason Murphy, and I heard him preach in another conference a while back, and he said this: harvest time is urgent. It's intense. It's all day and night. It's timely. It's undistracted. It's the highest priority, and we've just come out of our harvest. And a lot of men here grow cotton. They've grown grain sorghum, milo or maize, whatever you like to call it. Some have corn. And man, when that thing is ready to harvest, they're on it. They don't want to get stuck with a rain coming at a bad time. Dewey Bellows and I, he comes here often. We're talking just the other day. He said, "I had some acreage of cotton left," and he said it was a little bit early, but I was concerned about the probability of rain, so we harvested it, and then boom, boy, the sky just let loose. He said, "Man, I'm glad we dealt with it when we have time." Have you ever met anybody or had this experience in your own life? There was a relative or a friend. You were really concerned about their soul. You said, "You know, someday I need to talk with them about Jesus." And then they died. And then you say, "Man, you know, I should have done something while I was thinking about it." I've heard that repeated a number of times. And when you're in the harvest and you're working through the day, you recognize that when the Spirit of God puts somebody on your mind and heart, you make arrangements to go deal with it, because you don't know the day of their harvest or the day of their death. And so you don't put off those duties because you recognize that, you know, I'm in the harvest. I'm on duty. I'm on call. And the Spirit of God is calling, directing, putting somebody on my heart to go talk to about the Lord. The stories of Dr. Walter Wilson are fabulous. He was a medical doctor. He also did a lot of speaking in conferences. But every day that he got up, he knew he was on duty. And so he led train conductors and passenger on trains. That's how he traveled a lot. And hotel clerks and store clerks. He led a lot of people to the Lord because he always recognized when he met somebody that may be just the place of his hap. Just like Ruth. And so she worked through the day from morning until now. And then notice something else in verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." In other words, nobody's going to take advantage of you. There'll be water for you to drink. You'll read later, she actually gets to eat of the parched corn that is there. So he's made provision, he's offered protection, and he's given direction. Here's the next thing then. Not only did she work through the day, but she worked where she was told to work. She had a kind of an assigned place. "Go not to glean in another field," he said. Need to remind you, and I need to be reminded, this is the Lord's harvest. He has you working where he wants you working and where he tells you to work. In other words, this is his harvest. This is not yours or mine. It's his harvest. He has the place where he wants you to work, and that's the place where he'll provide for you. That's the way, the place where he'll protect you. That's the place where you'll have his provision. May I tell you something? That's a huge relief. This is a big world, and there are a lot of lost people in it. And you get this idea sometimes, man, we have an overwhelming task. We pray for the missionaries on these cards, and we had a card in here recently from Brother Gaddis in Australia, and he was overwhelmed by this. There are so many lost people in Australia. Australia is not his field. A place in Australia is his field, and a place in the city where he is working is his field, but he's not responsible for all of Australia. What happened to him is he got overwhelmed with that prospect while he was discouraged, and it caused him to say, "How are we going to get this job done?" That's God's business. That's God's. Let God worry about who's going to cover all those other fields. Just cover yours. That's the only one you're responsible for. And that's let me tell you something. That is a really, really great comforting thought. You know, we have a radio broadcast, and it goes from Mexico to Lake Charles, Louisiana, along the coast. And we didn't try to have a big footprint. I was in Beeville when we started this. KCTA is the only radio station in Corpus Christi that would reach there. So we got on with them and found out, you know, it's a broader deal. But we've had people as a result of that contact us from various parts of the country and said, "Don't you want to buy time in our market?" That's what they call it. And I said, "That's not our ministry. That's not our field. We weren't trying to become a national name. We're just trying to do what God wants us to do in the field he's given us to work." That's important to remember that. And be content with that. You say, "Well, I know, but so-and-so has led so many more souls to Christ." That's because God's given them a bigger field to work in. You work in the field that you work in. You know, sometimes I'll tell you what will happen. People can get so frustrated and intimidated by the size of the prospect, they never lead it, or they're never used by the Lord to do anything in the harvest when they could have been used by the Lord to see 5 souls come to Jesus Christ, and they never got there because they never got over the size and intimidation. Don't do that. Work where you're told to work. Then look in verse 11. After in verse 10, she fell on her face, and "Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" and so forth. Verse 11, Boaz answered and said, you know, she said, "Why are you doing this?" Boaz answered and said, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. Watch it. And how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Ruth left her family to work in this field. The land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore. What does that sound like? Sounds like missions, doesn't it? Sounds just like she's a missionary. She left her land to go to another land to be with some people she didn't know. She didn't know their language, didn't know their culture, didn't know their gods. You know, tonight, this crowd that's here, I'm well aware, there may be somebody sitting here right now who 10 years from now is serving God on a mission field somewhere in the world. And you would have to leave your family in the land of your nativity to go to a people that you knew not heretofore to serve him in that field. May I tell you something? You better learn to work like Ruth in this field before you try to work in a field of a strange land. In other words, get busy about that work now. Work among those here, because there are a lot of people here that you've not known heretofore. There are a lot of times when we meet a stranger. You say, well, I don't know this person, don't have a relationship with them. I don't know them. Sometimes you don't have to know them well to be able to do the work that you have to do in that field. Do you understand? God gives you opportunities with people you know well, but he also gives you opportunities with people you don't know so well. I've told you, and I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that our travel arrangements haven't been rearranged the last two times we've traveled. I'm so glad to get on a plane, fly, make the connection, fly, get to the destination, and get to the hotel. But many times our travel arrangements have been changed, and I at first fought it, and then I realized there's somebody on this flight, and we're going to end up separated, and I'm going to be sitting next to somebody, and a conversation is going to strike up about the Lord, and that's happened. I don't even know who these people are. But I've seen God work in that situation. Don't be afraid to work in the field when you meet somebody that you didn't know, when God's given you something to say to them that's going to be very helpful to them. All right, and then watch here in verse 12. I love this. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Ruth was assured of a reward. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She had no idea what that entailed. Boaz, the land redeemed, children, an heir for her husband, great-grandmother of the greatest king that Israel ever had. She had no idea. And you have no idea. But you are working with the assurance of a reward. You know, the Bible, you don't only see the fruit gleaned when you're in the harvest, which is a tremendous thing in itself. But whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord God. Can you imagine? You know, you say, I don't have a very good employer. You sure got one in God. You got the best one in the universe. And he says, not only do I pay, because he surely takes care of us here, but you ought to see what my retirement plan is like. You ought to see my reward. And you see how bountiful it was. Imagine this girl is in the field and her total concentration is just finding any loose grain of barley that's hit the ground. And she has no idea the load of reward that's waiting for her. But it's there, and it's there for us as well. And then we're going to skip down real quickly to verse 16 as he's instructing his men. He says to them in verse 16, let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she's now working amongst those that are reaping. And as they're reaping, when she's down picking up some stuff, they just drop a little extra. So she's going along like, whoa, look at this. And it increases, because of what they're doing, it increases what she's able to glean. Well, then she worked where she was told to work, left her family to work in this field, assured of reward, and watch, she reaped more than her labor. You know, the Lord knows who's out there working in His harvest. And when you're out there working in His harvest under His direction, and you're working your day, you're going to receive some of what others have harvested. I notice this when we do things here as a church, like there'll be a parade, and we'll go out as a church, and we'll pass out tracts, and we'll witness to people and stuff like that. Or when we did the Bible project, and we went and we put Bible, you know, talked with people and gave 9,000 Bibles out to people in the neighborhoods and actually had personal visits with each one. We didn't leave them at the door. We went and put tracts over there. If you ever notice, you look around here and all of a sudden you see a few new visitors. You know what that is? Handfuls of purpose. God says, you're taking care of that thing. You won't see it from over there, but I'll drop some over here for you. The Lord's good about that. And then notice, you say, yeah, there's a lot of chapter left and we need to start praying. That's fine. Go to verse 23 then. Last verse in the chapter. So she goes through here and, you know, it's some great exchange. But in verse 23, she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz. Notice she's not working alone. There's others there. She kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, which was later, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So she stayed with this work through both of those harvests. She was out there a long time. What's that? Ruth worked till the harvest ended. And I think the harvest hasn't ended yet. When the Lord said to His disciples, look on the fields, they're white already to harvest. I believe there's still, I know there is. We're still seeing people get saved. So I want to ask you this. Do you have a desire to work in the harvest? That's the question you want to ask yourself tonight. Do you have the desire to work in the harvest? That's the desire. That's the question you want. If you don't, you know, don't trouble yourself about the Lord sending. Say, Lord, work in my heart about my desire. Yeah. Work on that. Don't be frustrated about not getting a thing. Just work on that. But if you do have a desire, tell the Lord that you want to go. That's what Naomi did. Said, Lord, give me leave to work in the field. And wait for Him to say go. And then when He does, be assured He's going to lead you. He's going to show you where He wants you to work. Probably give you somebody to work with you because we work well in prayers. And He'll take care of you and He'll protect you. Give you a good place to work. You'll rejoice. You'll be able to see those things and you'll work with the assurance of reward. You know, I've been praying about this. We when Sean Holes was here, we went to a couple of colleges and we preached, and we had some of the college kids with us and we preached. And I was thinking, man, how can I divide up my time more where I can spend some time on the college campuses and maybe get some more of that done? It's fun work. And when I was praying about that very thing this morning, I realized something. If you're in college, you can do it. Let's see. Or I don't know if our college students are here. But you get the point. I don't have to go to your neighborhood. You're there. I'm certainly available to help you. I don't have to go to your family. You're there. You have a field. If you have a desire, and if the Lord will send you, He may give you a partner to work with you. That's a beautiful thing. But you'll see the Lord do some fabulous things in that harvest. There is a reward, and there's extra harvest in your path. Check your desire and listen for the leadership of the Lord. It'd be an answer to the prayer that he and his disciples prayed way back in Matthew chapter 9. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be sent by the Lord to that? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight for the opportunity to see something so beautifully presented in Ruth chapter 2. Help us to glean from the passage and listen for the leading voice of your Holy Spirit in our lives as we present ourselves to you to respond how you would have us to respond to the things you've shown us in this message for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.